Everybody ready? Good evening, everyone, from the City of Gustavus City Hall. This is Mayor Taylor, and it's my pleasure to call to order the general meeting of the City Council for February 14, 2022. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Sharman?
Here.
Councilmember Makoviac?
Here.
Councilmember Furr?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
All council members are present and a quorum exists.
Wonderful. Thank you all for being here tonight with us, either in the room or via Zoom. And thanks to the general public members who are tuning in as well. It's always nice to have you paying attention to what's going on in your city. I'd like to, the first thing for us to do always is to read our vision statement. It reminds us of what we're about here in the City of Gustavus. And Councilmember Bella Furr has agreed to read that tonight. Councilmember Furr, please.
We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively, while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community tradition.
Thank you, very nice. It's a great pleasure tonight to welcome a special guest, our Juneau Public Health Nurse, Claire Geldhoff, is joining us via Zoom. And I ask her to give us a little presentation tonight on the department's Healthy You in 22. And so I'm looking forward to hearing how we can make use of the Division of Health's program, Healthy You in 22, to promote health and healthy activities here in Gustavus. So Claire, welcome to our meeting, and we're pleased to hear from you now.
Thank you so much. My name is Claire, and I am a public health nurse that serves Gustavus. I'm based out of Juneau, but you guys will see me the second week of March for a vaccine clinic and just support around town. So I look forward to hopefully connecting with all of you. And Mayor Taylor, you may have promised a deliverable that I'm not able to provide at this particular meeting, but the Healthy You in 2022 is a Department of Health and Social Services campaign that is running. And as a humble public health nurse in the DHSS system, I have requested more information on this campaign and how it might, how the specifics translate to communities across Alaska, but have not heard back yet from the large Department of DHSS. So I'll use this as an opportunity to kind of share with you guys some of the historical backgrounds of public health and where my goal as Gustavus's public health nurse serving the community can be of support. and can act as a resource or someone to call on if you guys have questions about things that pertain to public health. Of course, you know, specifically COVID has been at the forefront of a lot of questions and needs and discussions the last 2 years. But as we kind of shift away from the epidemic and consider COVID more an endemic, meaning that there's no chance, try as we might, to eradicate this from the landscape of our kind of daily lives. As public health kind of shifts back into our normal practice areas away from so much COVID-centered work, public health has always been available for Gustavus for things like design and planning of things like the Healthy You in 22 campaign, which hopefully at the next meeting I'll have a little bit more back from our partners at DHSS. But also, you know, thinking of ways that we can help, you know, and I draw on your mission statement that you guys share here tonight is advocating and promoting at the individual level, but also community level. So what is in the best interest of kind of the health and well-being of Gustavus? So working with schools to collaborate for ways to engage youth and adolescents in healthy lifestyle. We have gone into schools under the Alaska State Statute and offered things like hearing and vision screening. We also offer well child checks, immunizations to children and families that are interested. And then also offering things like family planning, sexually transmitted infection, screening and treatment, and then tuberculosis testing and treatment. So those are really services that public health offers at the individual level, but my presence and kind of support where I can offer that to Gustavus is in things that are really directly responsive to that community and systems level work. So I am so appreciative and grateful just to introduce myself to many new council members here. And I can type down my contact information in the chat. I apologize. I don't have any information back on the Healthy You in 2022 campaign, but would love to continue acting as a resource on all things related to public health and specific to Gustavus. I know that the last 2 years, and especially working with Kelly and Lisa, and the team at the clinic have been a lot of things. Challenging is kind of one word that comes to mind. So I'm keenly interested in ways to continue working with Sol Martinez at the fire department on kind of that catalyst of community and how do we, looking ahead to this summer, promote activities that offer really just the best lives that we can live as Alaskans. A brief background, I was born and raised here in Alaska, and this is my home. And it's an honor to kind of be serving the communities of Southeast. So I open it up if you guys have any questions, but really appreciate again the introduction to many new council members that I have not met yet.
Thank you very much, Claire. And sorry if I put you on the spot in my introduction. I have gathered that while they during the weekly echoes, the science echoes and so forth, they have mentioned the Healthy You in 22, but it sounds like they haven't really got all the materials out yet. So we'll look forward to making them available to interested members of our community when they're available. And we'll look forward to seeing you in March when you're here and getting to meet you and see how we can make the most of what you have to offer for our city. Do any council members have any questions now for Claire? Sounds like they're willing to let you off the hook at this this point, and I'm sure we'll have some more, you know, plenty of things to discuss when you're here. So thank you very much for joining us and introducing yourself, and we'll see you next month.
Yeah, and I'll just briefly add that, you know, if there's ever a moment where you quiver around the space of, oh, is this something that public health might be invested in or interested in, that can expand beyond, you know, I gave you a kind of a brief synopsis of where we do a lot of individual care, but just to give you guys some examples of things, I work over in Pelican, and right now one of the areas of focus is how do we help build Pelican a greenhouse? So public health, as I'm studying in my doctorate program for public health, is really focused on so many areas beyond that individual level care. So if you have a project in mind or a community level initiative, I would love to hear about it. And I'd love to work alongside you guys. So thank you so much and have a wonderful meeting. I will type my email in the chat and look forward to corresponding with you all more soon.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate you tuning in and joining us tonight. Thanks. Okay, our next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. We have up for approval the general meeting minutes from the 17th of January and the special meeting minutes from the 24th of January. And Council Member Lewis Sharman has a motion for us to approve that, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move to approve by unanimous consent the January 17th, 2022 general meeting minutes, as well as the January 24th, 2022 special meeting minutes.
I'll second
Thank you,
that.
Council Member Sharman. We have Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Councilmember Moskoviac to approve the general meeting minutes of the 17th of January and the special meeting minutes of the 24th of January. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Anything you've seen in the packet that was distributed? I'm not seeing any hands raised. So do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, looks good. Are there any objections to approving the January 17th general meeting minutes and the January 24th special meeting minutes by unanimous consent? Okay, seeing no dissent, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. Thank you. The next is the mayor's request for agenda changes. We have a brief agenda tonight, so I'm happy that it's as such, and I have no suggestions for any changes to that. Do any council members have any issues or wish to change anything in the agenda? I'm seeing shaking heads up here at the table and nothing showing up online. So we'll call the agenda set then. The next is committee reports and staff reports. And I'll be inviting presenters in the order that they're listed there to speak, and they'll state their name and department and keep reports to about 5 minutes or less. I think we have a longer report coming up for the GCA. But so the first is the Gustavus Visitors Association with their business plan and budget request report. And I've ask them to take a little extra time to make sure they can get this full report in to you, and you have a chance to ask any questions, because it's an item that we need to understand well as we go into our budget period, development period here. So I believe Leah is perhaps ready for that.
Hi, can you hear
there
me?
You are. Yes, thank you, Leah.
Okay, great. So thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and city staff, for the opportunity to speak tonight. I'll also take this opportunity to say a personal thank you to those involved in maintaining our roads and plowing our driveways during this heavy snow winter. So thank you to all who are involved in that. That's a bit of a sideline there. So we're going to have two of us present the Gustavus Visitor Association marketing plan and budget requests. And so I'm going to start, and then I'm going to hand you over to our marketing technician, who's going to talk about his part. And then I'm going to bring it back and have a conclusion there. So to start you off, so amidst the challenges in the tragic wake of this pandemic, there's been brought forth substantial changes to our world. Everyone now knows how to use Zoom. You can chat with your family that you haven't spoken to in years prior to now, do your physical therapy, yoga classes, art sessions, book groups, doctor's appointments, and all of your shopping online. The hesitation to put your credit card online has gone out the window, which means that your personalized algorithms are being fine-tuned without request or even possibly your knowledge. Your phone and computer are directing your attention to your interests, picking out what movies you like, what car to buy, and where you'd like to go on vacation based on your viewing history. So with that, we have changed a lot of our marketing direction to be online and to be, sort of on the website. And I'm going to really pass it over here to Brian Taylor to talk about his part of what he's been up to. But in essence, this has been a change of direction in the marketing side of, well, the GVA. The whole essence of the GVA is marketing. So on the marketing of the GVA. So I'm going to hand over to Brian here, who's going to talk a little bit more about the technical side of the changes we've done in the Visitor Association. Brian.
Thanks for that, Leah. Can you all hear me here?
We do here in City Hall. Thank you, Brian.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for having us and taking the time, giving us a couple extra minutes here. I think it says it's Kyle who's controlling the screen. If you want to scroll to the third page of this quarterly report where it says completed to task this quarter, that's kind of where I'll be starting. So I have to say, this is my first full quarter working for the Gustavus Visitors Association. And basically, we've been trying to make best use of the limited resources that we have to deliver the most value to our community. And so with a lot more of the world moving online, I've come on and taken a hard look at where our website is and where the digitally transformed world demands it to be. And we're trying to take somewhat bold steps to make moves towards that direction, if not, move everything in that direction. And so focus has been on the website, and continuous improvement is the aim here. So some changes we've made, see the bullet point there. I guess the easiest way for me to break this up as far as things we've achieved regarding the website, I like to think of this as the user experience or the robot experience. Those are kind of the two categories most things fall into. When I say robot experience, that kind of encapsulates search engine optimization and all of the algorithms that are indexing and tracking our site and ranking our site and determining how we appear in rankings, as well as all of the tracking that we do on our back end to measure the return on investment of our ad spend. So regarding the front end of things, we've been restructuring our navigation menus and the layout of our website to try and make things more intuitive and easier, kind of frictionless to flow through for our visitors. Also adding lots of content and continuously updating and improving our content. So this year this quarter, we added some information, a bunch of new business listings, some 911 EMS information to the City of Gustavus pages, as well as, you know, keeping up with all of the COVID updates, as that's one of the highest things that people have been coming to the site for in these last 2 years. It's hard to believe it's been 2 years. My goodness. Moving down, we've also made a lot of updates regarding that robot experience I was talking about, you know, adding metadata alternative text to the images in our library so that we're not just showing up in text searches, but also showing up in image searches. I'm adding structured hierarchy to the web pages and business listings so we can, you know, it's clearer what visitors are looking for, clearer to the robots what the pages, what the content on the pages have. And of course, doing all the odds and ends, you know, submitting new sitemaps as we make these changes so that the search engines maintain correct structures for all of that. And we're also researching and making some preliminary preparations to engage the services of a content delivery network, because with everyone being online these days, I guess from Gustavus, it's hard to realize how much speed makes a difference on a website, but to the more broad internet public, a page loading slowly can, it's a pretty big turnoff. So we're trying to engage a content delivery network for faster page load times as well, among other updates that we're looking at in the future here. Scrolling down to analytics, you'll see this first graph is a user overview, just kind of showing a chart over the course of the quarter. You'll note a spike there right in the middle, where we had almost double the visitation of a normal day. And that was right on the heels of the Huna Indian Association announcing that they will be acquiring the Gustavus Inn. We saw a large spike in traffic for about 2 days following that as people came to our Huna Tribal House page, searching for content that we didn't exactly have. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Next graph down here, this one I've laid out. So you see the blue line is the quarter for this report, and the orange line is the year prior. And if you look at the table that corresponds to it below, kind of top line figure here is that year over year in this quarter, we saw the number of users on our site increase by 60%. And now it's worth noting that that is a mix of organic user increase as well as paid users, or I guess a pay per click advertising campaign that brought about 533 users to our site this last quarter. We actually discontinued that campaign about halfway through the quarter after a board meeting where we did some deeper dive into the analytics on it and found that our organic growth was so strong that, and we were mostly seeing people clicking the ad on a page where our link was probably right underneath it organically. So it seemed like just as a cost control measure, we were gonna terminate that until we have more competitive keywords that we're specifically trying to rank for, so we're not wasting any money. And it is worth noting that even if you take out those 500 or so visits from the pay-per-click ad campaign, we still saw an organic growth of 41.5% in our user base this year versus last. So that's pretty solid growth. Scrolling to the next graphic here on the next page, these are the landing pages. So the first page on our site that someone arrives on, the first two there, you'll see just the slash meaning our homepage. And the second is ferry service. Those are our two highest hitting pages, have been for a long time. And on the third one there, you'll notice that directly underneath the ferry service page is our Huna Tribal House Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve Project page. And almost all of the traffic to this page happened in that period of 3 days that I was talking about there with the spike in traffic. And that's kind of informing our content strategy, because you'll also notice here The fourth column, I guess fifth column over, is labeled bounce rate. And on that page, we had a bounce rate of just about 95% of the people who arrived at that page quickly realized that that wasn't the news about the acquisition. And so they bounced to where they bounced to try and find the content they were looking for. But that informs our content strategy and tells us that we need to be, you know, looking at engaging or at least putting out maybe some kind of information that could be the content that those visitors are looking at or looking for. And we've been in discussion about how best to more integrate the native culture and history of Gustavus into our content offerings. That's informed that. Next analytics graph here talks about visitors by country. You'll note that almost all of our visitors are from the United States. And again, here it's worth looking at the bounce rate and average session duration, the fifth and seventh column, mostly on the right there. You'll note that we have a lot of visitors from China, but 99% of them bounced as soon as they saw the page. So basically top two countries for us are United States and Canada. We were debating putting some ad spend into the international market in Canada to try and grow that international base, but just given uncertainties surrounding COVID, I decided to hold off until things are a little bit more certain. So we've been focusing our ad spend in the United States markets. We've currently got a social media campaign going with, let's see if I have anything here. I think it's with the Alaska Magazine that's going to run for 3 months and at a cost of about $3,000. So moving on to social media on the eighth page, you'll see slow and steady growth of our social media accounts. Mostly from locals, we're increasing our reach. And again, our top Facebook post from 2021 was the HIA purchase of the Gustavus Inn, 59 likes, the most engagement of the quarter on that. And on to goals and objectives for February through April of 2022, finishing the membership drive, and then continuing website optimization for search engines, user experience, and mostly improving our analytics and our tracking. And really, this is a discussion we've been having in our board meetings of what exactly the value proposition of the GBA is and how we can strengthen that value proposition to our members. And it seems like one of the things that we really ought to be doing is providing reports to our members with advanced analytics of how many page views they had on their business profile, how many clicks to their website, how many phone calls, so that they can really feel and see, you know, in a quantifiable way, the impact that we're having on their business, because we're in a sort of interesting spot where we're really mostly an informational site. So we don't have the capacity to track the entire user journey from initial acquisition to the final purchase. They, you know, arrive, gain their information, and then move on. So that's where we're focusing, is on, you know, increasing site speed, the search engine optimizations, and then looking at improving our tracking backend, kind of our tracking infrastructure, so that we can more adequately quantify and measure our return on investment when we do spend money on ads. And then also being able to, you know, have relevant goals and conversions for our visitors on our website, so that we can make those custom reports for our members and really have a demonstrable value proposition so that it makes sense and everyone realizes they ought to be a member with the GBA. Beyond that, these are mostly just, you know, continual content improvement, trying to make sure that we have the information visitors are coming for, and improving the layout and, you know, user experience of the site. I realize there's a lot in here, so if anyone does, you know, have any questions as to where our vision is at and what we're looking to do, I'm happy to take those. But I just also want to acknowledge that we do have, you know, not a ton of time, so I think that's about as much as I have to say here. Thanks, everyone. Guess I'll pass that back to Leah.
So I'm conscious about time here, Mr. Mayor. Do I have a few more minutes to put a closure on this, or have I run out of time? Yes.
We'd be delighted to hear from you, Leah. Please proceed.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and City Council. So as far as I can tell, one of the most important and probably the most challenging jobs that the city council has is budgeting and allocating funds. So Gustavus's population has grown, 655 estimated population. So in 30 years, the population has pretty much doubled. So we're a growing community. With a growing community, there's an increase of wear and tear on resources such as roads and recycling, and increased necessity for infrastructure. Can you still hear me? I just lost my microphone. Hello?
We do. We hear you.
You still hear me? Okay, great. Okay. So there's an increased demand for infrastructure and things like waste management and resource management. So with more people, we need more money. So where does that money come from? Where do we generate the funds to support an increased population? Gustavus's economy is derived from visitors. And Alaska is the place to go for many nationwide and international travelers. You know, not just your classic Alaskan visitor who wants to see a whale jump or a glacier carve or a bear catching a salmon. Alaska has a draw for independent travelers. Gustavus has a draw for independent travelers who want to escape to the wide open spaces, lay in a field of strawberries, create art, or write a book called Living the Dream or something like that. Gustavus is perfectly situated to be the place that they would like to go. And what we're seeing at the moment is our neighboring communities, Sitka, Juneau, Ketchikan, are reaching out to ask in the downturn of the cruise ship travelers and the upturn of the independent travelers, our neighboring communities are reaching to us, looking at how we market to independent travelers and how they can bridge the marketing opportunities and work with us to enhance their independent traveling marketing. So we're a hotspot. Gustavus is a hotspot. And it's not just this year. So when we market for Gustavus, we're not talking about, are we going to have a good summer this year? Which I can tell you, we are going to have a very good summer this year. Many of us are already sold out, but we're marketing, when you allocate us funds, we're not marketing for next year or possibly the year after that. We're marketing for the future. So we're marketing for the future economy of our kids and the sustainability of the growth of this community and the health of this community. So the Visitor Association will take a portion of the city bed tax and reinvest it. So we're allocated in up to 50%. And we have a big ticket item that we're hoping to achieve in fiscal year 23. And that is to create more movies. We created a movie with the CARES Act funds last year. And many of our neighboring towns and many of our competitors of destinations have a multitude of movies. So we also need a menu of movies. So we'd like to create another movie. And so a photo says 1,000 words, well, a movie will say 1,000,000 words in today's world. And movies have a huge amount of uses, not only for our website, but also for digital marketing. So that's a big ticket item that's coming up on our budget that we would like to fund. So you'll see that. And basically with our funding, this is a minimum. Our funding is that the memberships is a very, very small portion of the cost of marketing Gustavus. We derived about $4,000-ish from memberships, of which we did really well. And there are several, on just to let you know, I'm going to sideline it, several of the members that I put declined haven't actually declined. We're still waiting for their money. So don't take it as decline. Maybe declined is the wrong use of words there, but we did really, really well in our memberships. We have a huge amount of support. In fact, we even had 5 members donate extra money above and beyond the cost of their memberships. So that there's so the membership money that was derived from membership dues, that basically paid for one campaign. And for doing things like creating a movie and updating our website, it costs a lot more than that. So what we're requesting is a bottom line. I just want to close with the mission statement of the Gustavus Visitor Association. When you read that, which is written on the beginning of all of our reports, it echoes and supports the vision of the city of Gustavus. So particularly the line in the vision of the city of Gustavus, that line that says, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety and promotes personal development and initiative, that's very much in line with the mission of the Visitor Association. So we are an extension of the city's activities, and we hope that you continue to support us. I'm very excited about this next year. We're going to have a busy year, and we have a good looking future ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. I like the long view of marketing for the future. That's an important thing for us always to be thinking about. What are the needs of tomorrow here, and how do we provide for those folks who will be here long after us? So building that basis is important. Congratulations on the effective drive so far on your membership. And it's good to hear that you're projecting a strong visitor season for this year. And we certainly wish the very best for all the businesses in Gustavus. They're what sustain us as a community. And so we hope everybody can be successful, and you guys are a big piece of that. Do any council members have any questions for Leah? Looks like Council Member Sharman does.
Hey, thanks, Leah. That was a great presentation, and I appreciate and agree with your view of the future of especially tourism in Gustavus. It does leave me quite curious to hear from you what discussions your board has had with regard to whether there can be too much tourism in Gustavus, and if so, how much and how do you know it?
Thank you, Council Member Lewis. The Sharman, sorry. we're limited by the places that people can stay. So yes, we could have too many people, but what happens is people will contact us with an interest to coming, or they'll contact an accommodation. Typically they'll contact an accommodation before they contact an activity. Because they want to know where they can stay. And that's really the limiting factor of how many people we can accommodate. During the peak time, which is around about the 4th of July time, so mid-June to mid-July, we're already sold out. So anybody that wants to come during that time, they're going to have a hard time finding a place to stay. So which forces them into coming a little earlier or a little later and changing their plans. So can we have too many visitors? Not really, because we don't have anywhere for them to stay. We're not going to be overrun with too many people, and we're not going to be sick of all these people roaming around our streets and being here because we don't. The limiting factor is places for people to stay. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, actually, it partially answered my question, Leah. If you guys had an unlimited budget, would you not encourage your members to grow and build and develop more accommodation and thereby be better positioned to support more visitors and greater tourism?
Well, absolutely. Yes, if someone's going to, no one's going to build a place that can accommodate visitors unless they thought they were going to make some money. And they would certainly, if they think they're going to make some money, then it would be worth building a place. So hopefully there will be an increase of places for visitors to stay, you know, particularly in the direction of affordable places for people to stay. I think there's, you know, that's a trend. But, you know, are we going to be overrun with having too many places? Are we going to be, there's a place called Glitter Gulch, which is renowned for just too many visitors and gift shops and trinket shops and things like that. You know, I don't see that happening. I think, you know, that there's often that fear. You know, I personally, myself, you know, I don't particularly like people or visitors. I like a quiet place. I like a place where I can be in the field and not listen to humanity all around me. You know, I like that quietude. And Gustavus was very much in fear when the ferry was going to come. You know, I think a lot of people felt, well, with the ferry is going to come infrastructure, is going to come a whole bunch of shops all the way down to the ferry terminal. It's going to introduce people who we don't like, or too many people. So there's always that fear factor, but it didn't happen. And I think in the same way, you know, we will market and we will grow, but I don't think we're going to become overrun. So I'm not sure if I answered that question. You know, I suppose we have to look to see how things are happening or evolving over time, and make decisions as things unfold.
Thanks, Leah. Do any other council members have a question for Leah, or for Brian for that matter? Okay, I'm not seeing any more come up. Thank you very, very much, Leah and Brian, for that interesting report. And again, we wish the best for all of your members and indeed all businesses in Gustavus for this coming year. We'll move on to our next report from the Gustavus PFAS Action Committee, their quarterly report. I saw Sally McLaughlin maybe is on the list here. Sally, are you speaking for the PFAS group?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Thank you. I'll make this brief. We do appreciate the opportunity to present a quarterly report to you so that you know what our activities are. And you have this all, and I assume you've read it, so I'll just touch on a few things. The results from the passive flux meters were good. We indicate that Plume Stop may be a great fit for our area, and we are continuing to work with DOT and with Shannon and Wilson to see what the next steps are for there. We appreciate the being awarded the Endowment Fund grant. Thank you very much. Mike, you mentioned at the work session last week that you had watched the presentation that Kristen Freiberger did, and we appreciate that you did that. I hope others have had a chance to do it too, to watch it also. It is very informative and interesting and easy to watch. We're excited about the blood tests finally being submitted for publication, and hopefully we'll see that out soon. And the update on the legislature is that the Senate bill, Jesse Keel's Senate Bill 171, has been scheduled for a hearing this Wednesday, February 16th at 3:30, and they will be taking public testimony if anybody wants to call in. A letter of support from the city would still be great, for that bill and for the House Bill, Sarah Hannon's House Bill 171. we have talking points that we're happy to forward to you if you need those, or if you, you know, decide you do want to send a letter, we would appreciate it. That's about all. We do have this upcoming Alaska Community Action on Toxics is hosting a legislative briefing, lunch and learn event, and we will know more about that and pass that on to you when we do. And that's all I've got.
Thank you, Sally, and thank you for reminding me about that letter in support of that bill. I will do that. And I made a note here to make sure I don't forget.
Great. Thank you.
And thanks for your leadership on this, too. Do any council members have questions for Sally with regard to their report? Okay, it looks like they're all satisfied with digging through the details and what she presented to us in writing. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move on. The next is the Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center quarterly report. Is Paul on tonight with us? Or?
Yeah, can you hear me?
There you are. Okay, good. I hadn't spotted you on the list yet. So,
yeah.
Welcome, Paul. We look forward to your report tonight.
Thank you. I know you guys have had a lot of reports tonight. I'm sorry I can't start out with a joke or something to shake up the air a little bit, but I don't. Briefly, the reports that I submit to the council every quarter are my best effort to inform you as far as developments that are going on with the recycling center in a kind of a consistent basis. I usually talk about the same things, our labor pool, labor things, the mound. What I call our waste mound that's in there, and other things that have come up. And in the report, there's a link to landfill development plan that was put together by Vista Geoenvironmental. That's a landfill engineer that I've been working with since 2017. That's a great document, and I'm really glad to have that in the city's whatever you would call that sphere of data. It basically is a way of looking at the DRC parcel, the city's DRC parcel, and determining how much capacity is available. There's a lot of assumptions involved in terms of how much we landfill on an annual basis. In 2015, it was estimated at 250 cubic yards a year. And so I want to kind of update that annual number, or update that number annually, so I can come up with a more predictable means of how much waste we're placing in the ground on an annual basis, and just make that part of the operator's kind of regular operation as far as, you know, what is our rate of use, because that's a real important thing. But I encourage council members to take a look at that. And in the course of the next year, I hope to produce a companion document as far as how my opinion as far as how the city should utilize that report. There was groundwater testing in November, and the results of that are also linked in this report. There's no red flags or anything, but it's always interesting. There's a lot of, I think it's molybdenum, and there's a certain amount of arsenic in areas of one of our wells, as there has been in numerous years, but there has not been any problematic spikes such as lead, mercury, things like that. I did talk about the bobcat and large baler repairs, and I realized I left out all the information on the large baler repair. And what that was Chris Smith volunteered during the month of November. He worked with Ian and came in and did some welds on the large purple Cramalot baler that we have in the back room that is in the process of the park. Hopefully someday we'll be giving to us, but it's, that machine is used quite hard. And so the portions of it are basically being pushed apart by its continual use. So we were able to use clamps and stuff, pull it back in and kind of get it welded back into place. But one of the key things about that is the DRC has a lot of aging equipment, more than just the dump master. And so those kind of things are going to be reoccurring, you know, and we do have a repair and replacement fund, you know, to kind of get all that kind of figured out. But as we approach the 10 and 15 year span for a lot of our equipment, that's going to be more and more of a factor in our operation. Other things, we have the training that's coming up in May with the Zender Group. I'm very much looking forward to that. There's also going to be the second biennial hazardous waste collection event. I have a planning talk with Clean Harbors tomorrow as far as coordinating that and getting the agreement kind of ironed out for the mayor to take a look at. But kind of making, you know, because we have the target dates on that as far as Sunday, May 15th for households and Monday, May 16th for businesses. That's the same 2-day plan that we used on the last one. I can see I'm already used 4 minutes. So there's just a lot of different things going forward, the new building planning and stuff like that. So please, I encourage you to take a look at the report and contact me if you have questions or anything, or if any of you have questions tonight. But I'll wrap it up with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I'm looking forward to that hazardous waste event and putting our new hazardous waste facility to more use. Do any council members have any questions for Paul about his report? Okay, I'm not seeing any more. So thank you, Paul. I've read the report and I'm really appreciate it, the info in it, and I hope others do too. So thanks for your report this evening.
Thank you.
The next one on the list is the city treasurer, but I believe our treasurer is off tonight. So there is a written report. Am I correct? Eduardo, you're not online, I don't think. Okay. Yeah, she said she was going to be missing the meeting tonight. So so I hope you'll look it over. Our revenues remain strong, which is a good sign for us. Expenses under control. And you'll notice that the report is adjusted to include the latest NCOs that we have, in which we project more revenue and have reallocated some of the expenses. So as you look through that, remember that the report is sort of an evergreen or a rolling report that says where we are now with our current budget. And so I hope everybody will pay attention to that. And if any members of the public have questions about our financial condition, by all means, give us a call here in City Hall, either to the treasurer, the city administrator, or call me if you'd like, and we'll get you answers to that. Our last staff report is from City Administrator Tom Williams. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everybody. So our CARES Act grant was officially closed by the state. They certified that we're good with all of our expenditures. I'd like to thank our treasurers, Phoebe D'Angelo and Eduardo Loggins, for all the hard work keeping up with our grant programs. You may remember during CARES Act, the money we received was put back out into the community under several grant programs. Took a lot of work to manage, create and manage those programs. So a big thanks to Phoebe and Eduardo, keeping our programs funded and our accounting accurate. The mayor and I have kept moving with our funding reimbursement projects. We've closed out our debris removal. We got about $36,000 coming in on that. We have three other projects that just got submitted for final review. And we have one other one that is going to require additional work this spring before we can close that one out. But we're moving along, and the projections for our reimbursement should cover all of our expenses we incurred from the flood event back in 2020. Budget development, well, we finished the rough draft of the fiscal year 23 budget. This week, we're doing council member one-on-one meetings to talk over some of the more discrete issues of the line items, how we developed our forecasting, and how our budget is looking in terms of revenue and expenses this year And then that will reflect into next year. Our next step will be to have a budget work session with council. That's scheduled for February 28th, that's on Monday. And then that'll be followed up by a town hall on March 16th at 6, that's Wednesday. We hope to have the budget introduced at the April or May general meeting, depending on any need to modify the budget based on input or changes by the council. The capital improvement plan was delayed. We were hoping to have that during the work session this month, but the mayor and I are working out some details on the projects. So we're going to push that off to March, the March work session. Our Gustavus Library, once again, has done an outstanding job of finding some outside sources to help fund programs. This time around, the library has received a Leap into Science grant. That grant reaches out to our young patrons through literacy and the E-STEM, environment, science, technology, engineering, and math. The Leap into Science grant is an Alaska after school STEM program. It's an expansion of the VISTA program of the Alaska Children's Trust. It's going to focus on hands-on materials and books for each of the topics. Our librarians, Jesse and Leanne, are currently offering the K-5 grade patrons 4 Fun Fridays of E-STEM and literacy after school. The second grant is a University of Alaska Museum of the North Education and Public Programs. The library was selected to receive this grant. It's an awesome grant called the Sun Discovery Kit, and it will be filled with literacy and hands-on materials for the use in future programming. Our librarians have done an outstanding job with developing programs and trying to focus on after-school programs for our youth. We received many, many comments about the good job that they're doing there. So a shout out to Jesse and Leanne for an awesome job in our library. That's all I have, Mayor. Unless there's questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Did you want to say something about we got a rather large grant that came in the last week or so?
Okay, great. Thanks, Mayor. We applied for it's part of the ARPA program that is given to the states, and then the state has to use it for specific programs or projects. It's focusing on rural communities. In this case, we applied for lost revenues, and the state then approved $161,000 and some change that we hope to be receiving in the next couple of weeks. That was a grant that the treasurers and myself had drafted up, mayor approved, and we just received that notification. I think it was Friday, maybe Thursday. So great news for us. We'll be able to put that into our fiscal year 23 budget, hopefully, unless we get the funds prior to July 1st, in which case we'll be able to put that into our fiscal year 22 budget. And then since that budget is already developed and those expenses are already identified, we'll add to our carryover into next year. As the mayor indicated from the treasurer's report, we are greatly exceeding our budget forecast that was developed for fiscal year 22. We're looking at having a healthy carryover into fiscal year 23. And this will add to that. Thank you, Mayor, for bringing that up.
Thank you, and congratulations to you and the finance team for a great job here. That's money that we can put to great use, and I'm eyeballing it for some of our road projects, for one thing. We've got plenty of things we can put that good money to, and for the benefit of our community, and we'll do our best to make best use of it. Do any council members have any questions for our city administrator on his report? Louis Sherman.
Just a quick question about those ARPA funds. As I understand it, that those funds were designed to basically make us whole from revenue losses due to COVID? Or that's my first question.
Tom, do you want to answer that?
Sure. Thank you, Councilmember Sharnan. So the ARPA funds, of course, there's a large umbrella of ARPA funds. The lost revenue funding is for making us whole, as you put it. The idea is to use that money to help cover areas in our budget that we did not achieve our objectives. As you know, we do the budget in July. The pandemic hit us in December, affected our revenue stream. And as a result, for fiscal year 21, we did not hit our financial objectives. So that lost revenue money is specific to uses for that recovery. Just as an example, those funds can be used for roads. And the mayor alluded to having some projects that we could utilize those funds for in our roads program. Those would be acceptable expenses. There's several categories that we could use that funding in to help with lost revenues. I can't recite the entire list for you tonight, but if you're interested on following up with that, you can give me a call tomorrow and I can give you a further explanation of the different areas of our budget that we could utilize that funding. Another thing we keep in mind is if we are using those funds for specific qualified use, the monies that we've had already identified for that line item can then be used in another line item. So we'll definitely maximize our opportunity with those funds.
Okay, is that, Louis nods that he's got an answer to his question. And yeah, we ran a pretty tight ship there during a lot of the pandemic and tightened up on our expenses, knowing that it was going to be, we didn't have a lodge open for one summer and things like that. And a lot of businesses weren't busy or weren't open at all that first summer. So we did lose some revenue opportunities, and it's nice to have this opportunity to refill the kitty here and put it to use on things that we weren't able to do during the pandemic. So any other questions for our city administrator from the council? Okay, well, thank you again, Tom, and appreciate that report. We now move on to public comment on non-agenda items. This comment period is for non-agenda items only, is not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only of any commenter. So if you'd like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do have that option, if you do not have that option, then unmute your phone and the clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. We also have some folks here in the room who I think are planning to speak. And so I'll ask each of you to state your full name when speaking and refrain from speaking. Your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. And there'll be another opportunity at the end of the meeting for that. And we have Jim Kearns here in the audience who would like to speak.
Okay, hi, this is Jim Kearns from Gustavus. And I just have a couple comments. And speaking of the long view in the future that Leah discussed and that Mayor Taylor talked about, I wanted to just comment that to provide for a safe year-round public float facility for the people of Gustavus, the city of Gustavus really has to get on the bandwagon and begin the process to get a wave barrier for the Gustavus dock that will protect our floats. Sooner is better than later. I noticed when I've been down there lately that some of the brackets that are holding the float in there are actually broken on the far end. If you go down there and take a look at it, you can see those. I didn't climb down off the thing to see it, but I could see them from a distance. And so in the meantime, but that's really important. We got to do something about a wave barrier. It is so vitally important to not only the people that live here, but to those who come for their safety and for the safety of operations that are providing services for people that utilize the float. And so using terminology I've been seeing, whereas the floats are designated to be for transient use only. And I think that might be only for the commercial people, but that they should be for transient use only. And whereas the most protected spots on the breakwater float are on the inshore side of the float. And whereas the skiff ramps that take up the entire inshore side of the float, I request that the city of Gustavus modify the skiff ramps to fit in between the pilings that secure the floats. And I actually have a diagram here I'll let you have and take a look at what I had. And thus open the two most protected sections of the inshore side of the float for all vessels to use while loading or unloading only. And we already have a space up front that says loading and unloading only. And when there's a lot of people, that's what you do. Well, that's what these would add, the best places on the dock for safety's sake. Additionally, I would request that the city establish transient float use only on the floats for the following hours and time periods instead of just say it's a transient float. And I would suggest May 15 through September 15 from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. and from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And that would then leave those floats open for non-transient use at other times of the day. So anyway, I have this diagram. I'll pass it around to you. And then I will actually send this out in a letter form to the city so you can see it. But anyway, that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Do any council members have any questions for Jim Kearns? I'm not seeing any, but Jim, I will have some comments in my mayor's report on exactly that topic. We've got some good news coming up on this and action actually beginning tomorrow. I'll report on that in my mayor's report a little bit later in the meeting, in this meeting, and I'll be glad to send to you what's going on too. So any other, one last chance, any other questions for Jim Kearns? I guess not. So thank you very much, Jim. We appreciate those comments and we take them to heart, believe me. Do we have any other members of the public with comments on non-agenda items? So I'd be pleased to hear from you. Hands up on the screen if you're tuning in from outside.
Hi, this is Kelly. I don't have a hand button. I'm on a phone.
Okay, Kelly, we're glad to hear from you. So I'm, please proceed.
Thank you. It's Kelly McLaughlin, and I just wanted to go on tonight's record, letting everybody know that there was a protest today. We were able to deliver a letter to Mayor Mike Taylor. He met us at City Hall. Hopefully he's made that available to all the council members. And I'll also send an email, so it's an electronic form. But I just wanted to have it on the meeting record. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kelly. It was indeed actually a pleasure to meet with your group and to hear from folks who care about Gustavus a lot and are looking for ways to bridge differences in the community. And I have already forwarded the your letter to the council members. So thank you again. And thank you for everybody who chose to meet one of the items in our vision statement of a community that works together to accomplish community goals and who takes social responsibility and actively participate. And that's what was happening today, and I appreciate it. Any questions for Kelly McLaughlin?
Other side.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Kelly. Do any other members of the public have a comment on non-agenda items? Madam Clerk, do we have somebody that's on the phone? Uh-huh. Right. Oh, I see. I see Kim raising his hand on the screen now and lit up on the screen. Kim Hecox, glad to hear from you.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor Taylor. Can you hear me?
We do.
Okay. Thank you. It saddens me to bring this to your attention. For many years now, Gustavus has not been an altogether safe workplace for teenage girls and young women. In particular, those who've been subjected to and fallen prey to a drinking culture and the practice, mostly by men, of sexual predation, most notably but not limited to the sport charter fishing industry. Much has been said on social media, and a few brave women have come forward with public statements and filed charges. One man, a former Gustavus business owner, is now incarcerated in Juneau for, quote, non-consensual sexual contact, end quote, that went on for approximately 20 years, 1999 to 2018. This was in our town. And the predation continues. This is unacceptable. Short of hiring law enforcement or a private investigator, the city should create a notice to be distributed to business and public venues around town. One that alerts everyone, especially potential victims, and will put perpetrators on notice. One that helps put an end to this terrible behavior and protects our most vulnerable citizens. One that says we are watching and listening and that we care. Because we do. One area of concern is someone is a victim. Who should they call and how quickly will there be a response? Well, thank you for your time and consideration. And those city council members who have received this on paper copy should have a second page with two examples of public signage that could go up in town. Thank you, Mayor Taylor.
Thank you, Kim Hecox. And I can confirm that the council members have received the text of your comments here with the examples on the second page. So thank you for that thoughtful offering of concern about this problem. Do any council members have any questions for Kim Hecox I see Tanya Lewis with her hand up. Tanya, Councilmember Lewis.
Thank you. And thank you, Kim. I've been just kind of pondering this since I read your letter earlier. And I like the notice idea, similar to Seattle Airport. But I just wonder, when the when Claire, the Juno public health nurse, was talking, and she mentioned beyond just health, that it's also community safety. And I wonder if maybe an approach would be to get her involved in, and you know, she talked about birth control too, which would be a way to get girls or just a venue of women's health, young women's health, where then there is also information about how to identify these perpetrators and what to look out for. And then there's a support group right there. So I think the notices are good, but I wonder if there's something else that we could do too, especially because Claire Geldof just said she was here to help us. So happy to work with you on that, Kim, if you want to pursue that. Thank you.
Kim, any other thoughts in response to Tanya there?
Well, thank you, Tanya. Yes, that's a good point. And I'm happy to work with the City Council during a work session if you want to call me in with other ideas. I do have ideas beyond what is presented in this short notice, but I won't go into that right now. But I think there are several possibilities to deal with this that could change the whole environment and atmosphere. So happy to move on from here and work with the City Council and just reach out to me. And one of the victims of this, a woman who doesn't live in town anymore, but she told me she took 15 years to develop the courage to bring her voice forward to the public, and she will be happy. It's not up to me to let you know who she is, but she too will be happy to cooperate and contribute to all solutions. So thank you, everyone, for your careful consideration of this. I really appreciate it.
Any other questions for Kim Hickox? Okay, I'm not seeing anything, but thank you very much, Kim. And I would welcome any council members who'd like to form, say, a working subcommittee to deal with the issues that Kim has raised, and it's very important. So let me know if you'd like to do that, council members, and how you can contribute. So thank you again, Kim. Do any other members of the public have comments on non-agenda items? Okay, I'm not seeing any more at this time. We've got another opportunity at the end of the meeting. And so we'll proceed on to our consent agenda. And we have three items on the consent agenda. You're all pretty familiar with the certificate of records destruction that we do about every month. And so it's another routine one of those, the work of our hardworking city clerk to keep our records up to snuff in our in proper order. There's another item that you have in the packet to waive an ambulance transport fee that was due to a billing error. Probably don't need to go into that too much. You've seen it in the packet. It's a little routine thing. And then we're also asking you to approve the issuance of an invitation to bid ITB FY22-01 for the Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge. And many of you are probably not aware of the developments, although the council member has an indication from the last meeting. For those of you in the public, I'll just briefly describe what that is. Some years ago, 2015, 16, 17, a couple of years there mainly, we did six or seven culvert replacements with timber bridges mostly on the Mountain View stream, but also on a couple of other locations. And we used fish passage money that was available from the federal government with assistance from Fish and Wildlife. And there was one remaining bridge on the Mountain View stream system, the portion that is really properly known as Harry Hall Creek, that flows under Grandpa's Farm Bridge, under Grandpa's Farm Road. And that culvert has become increasingly perched in the last decade or more. And we had a project designed to do that, to replace that culvert with a bridge. And the design was done, but then Fish and Wildlife lost the funding for it. And we have long wished to be able to complete that project because it also will make a very nice traffic safety improvement for the crossing of that deeply incised stream. So we've worked with Fish and Wildlife just recently to look for funding for it. And I was very pleased just a week ago to get word from Fish and Wildlife that the region wants to fund that project, and or they have money in the infrastructure bill for fish passage improvements, and they were looking for projects that were essentially shovel ready. Ours is; it's all designed. We actually had the much of the bid documents already drafted. So, so with that in mind, we have proceeded to polish off the or polish up the bid documents. And we're just about ready to put them out. Those of you on the council have seen it in your email. We don't put them in the packet until they're actually put out on the street for bid. So, so this item would approve our city to put out the invitation to bid, with the hope that we can meet the schedule that Fish and Wildlife has given us. The deal was that we'd get the money for this project if we could build it this year. And it was just too good a deal to pass up. So I said, yes, we can do it. So if we can get this thing out to bid this month and probably award it next month, we'll be on schedule to construct in the summer and complete the project on schedule. So that's on the consent agenda. Not on the consent agenda, unless you wish to take it off of the consent agenda. Okay. How about during, I'll catch up with you later for that. I'll give you an opportunity. That was Leslie Sierstad wishing to say something to me about it. And we're pleased, by the way, to have Leslie here in the audience too this time. Those are the three items on the agenda. Do any members of the public wish to remove any items, any of these three items from the consent agenda? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Do any council members have wish to remove any of these items from the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, then I would entertain a motion. I believe Tanya Lewis, Council Member Lewis, has a motion for us on to approve the consent agenda.
I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
I'll second that.
There we go. Two or three of them there, so it's well seconded. So it's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda by unanimous consent. Are there any objections to adopting the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Anybody shaking their heads no in the room here, and I see nobody on the screen. So the consent agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. Thank you. We have no ordinance for a public hearing this evening. and there's no unfinished business carried over from other meetings, which brings us up to new business and item 11, which is the gravel pit contracts award. And this is an annual thing that we do to provide a contractual relationship with contractors who excavate gravel from our pits and sell to the public. And we're pleased to make the gravel available for those projects for the community. And this is the way we do it. So do I have a motion? I believe we have a motion from Council Member Muskowiak to approve the award of these contracts. Council Member?
I move to award pit run gravel contracts to Fairweather Construction for 7,500 cubic yards, to Gustavus Landscaping for 1,500 cubic yards, and to Glacier Bay Construction Incorporated for 5,000 cubic yards at the price of $6 per cubic yard.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded to award the gravel pit contracts to award pit run gravel contracts for Fairweather Construction for 7,500 cubic yards, Gustavus Landscaping for 1,500 cubic yards, and Glacier Bay Construction for 5,000 cubic yards at the price of $6 per cubic yard. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this item? Okay, we have Leslie Sirstad. Leslie? For those of you who can't hear Leslie, she asked how many contracts were out there? Are three. There are three contractors who, and they're the same three who've been doing this for the last several years.
So it's just the three.
Just the three.
And the same three.
Okay, thank you. Any, does anybody have any questions for Leslie Sirstad on her comment or question? Okay. Do any council members have any comments on this action item? Okay, we're seeing shaking heads here in the around the table and nobody online. So Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Council Member Furr?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Muskowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item 12, which is resolution CY22-05, updating the policy and procedure for public records maintenance. And I need a motion first to adopt this. And I believe Kyle Bishop has the motion. Oh, should I read it? I thought we did a motion first and then I read it. Am I right, correct on that? Doesn't matter. We'll take the motion and then I'll read it.
I move we adopt resolution CY22-05, updating policy and procedure for public records maintenance.
Okay, do we have a second? In a minute, in public comment. Did we get a second?
This is Council Member Lewis, I second.
Thank you, Councilmember Lewis. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve resolution CY22-05, updating policy and procedure for public records maintenance. And I have the resolution before me here, so I'll read it. It's short. This is resolution CY20-05, a resolution for the City of Gustavus updating the policy and procedures for public records maintenance. Whereas the City of Gustavus generates numerous documents, files, correspondences, emails, memorializations, and whereas the City of Gustavus last updated its public records maintenance policy and procedure effective October 17th, 2013, and whereas Gustavus Municipal Code 2.70.030 requires the mayor to approve a records retention schedule that details the types of records that will be retained and the period of time for which they will be retained. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council updates this policy and procedure for public records maintenance, which includes a records retention schedule, a conversation record, a request for public records, and a certificate of records destruction attached to and made part of this resolution. And that full policy and procedure is attached, and it's fairly detailed. The council has had it before them in the, since the work session, fortunately, we don't have to read the whole procedure because there's quite a bit to it. So that's the item. Do any members of the public have any comment on this? And perhaps Leslie, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, just a brief statement.
Ian
and I were time clerk. I'm partial to records, and it seems kind of silly to a lot of people, but once you lose your history, you can't go back and get it, okay? So be very careful when you're perusing and how you destroy them or whatever it is.
Okay, thank you. Since some of you over the Zoom probably couldn't hear, Leslie, I'll summarize what she said. She, as a person who has dealt with records professionally in her past, she reminds us that once you destroy records, you don't have them anymore to go back to if you need to. So you need to be very careful in that. And indeed, that's why we have a records retention schedule. Do any council members have a question for Leslie Sirstad on that? Okay, thank you, Leslie, for that reminder. It is certainly the reason for doing this. Okay, do any council members have any comment on this resolution?
This is Jim Miskobiak. I have one question. The resolution that we're updating is dated 2020 resolution, I believe. Yet it says it hasn't been updated since 2013 in the text. And is there some sort of an inconsistency here?
I will call on the clerk to answer that question. Madam Clerk, was there a later update than the 2013 Council Member Miskovia requests?
I don't think so. Where are you seeing the discrepancy?
It says on the top, City of Gustavus, Alaska Resolution CY20-05. And is that the one that we're updating?
Yes, that's a typo. I will fix that for the signature copy. Thank you. It should be CY22.
Okay, very good catch there. Yeah. Leslie says touche on that. So, Okay, thank you, Councilmember Muscoviac, for catching that error. Here, I read it and it didn't occur to me. So. Okay, any other council comments on this before we go to a roll call vote? Okay, I see none. We'll make that correction. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sherman?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. That's adopted and it'll appear on our website soon, and the clerk will follow the procedure, of course. Okay, the next item is item 13, to approve project scoping for the septic pumping program. And let's see, we can start with a motion on this, and then I'll give a description, and I'll call on the city administrator to for a staff report on this one for you. I believe we have a motion from Councilmember van der Zanden on this one.
Yes, I move to approve project scoping for septic tank pumping.
Thank you. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second.
Councilmember Bishop seconds. Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded then to approve the project scoping for the septic pumping program. And before I go to the city administrator, I'll note that when we approve a scoping document, we approve the start of a project, and it lays out the intent of the project and approximately how it's envisioned to what's envisioned to develop in the project or be constructed, and approximately what it might cost. And so, but it does not approve any expenditures for it per se. And there's plenty of opportunity for the project to evolve as it's developed, but this authorizes the city administrator in this case to proceed with developing this project. So if the city administrator would like to speak up on this, I think all in the audience would appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. As a brief background, I brought this topic up at previous meetings, so I won't go into all the details, but in sum, we have an issue with reliable septic pumping coming to town from Juneau. I've received several calls, people looking to get on the pumping list. And in the discussions on those calls, it became clear that people call up the provider, the vendor, and get put on a list with an expectation that they'll be pumped within a couple of months of giving them a call. It turns out that for multiple reasons, such as not being able to get on the ferry with their truck because it either doesn't have any space or they can't get approval to put the septic truck on the ferry, fear that they'll have the truck stuck in Gustavus and out of service, or because of their busy season, it's just not profitable for them to spend the turnaround time to come out here and only be able to pump up to four truck or septic tanks. So I tried to develop a proposal that would address some reliability in providing septic pumping services for Gustavus. In developing this, I worked with some local contractors, contacted DEC, worked with sea level transport. That's the lightweight landing craft. I've worked with Council Member Van der Zanden and tried to put together a proposal that would be cost effective and not a lot of expense to the city, to the taxpayers. So as the mayor said, this is a scoping and development document. A scoping document is required to get any funding for the project. If the scoping document's approved, it'll initiate a transfer of funds from our AMLIP CIP account into our checking account. That would make the funding available once project expenditures are approved. The next step we would have to do is to draft an ordinance that would provide us authority for this service. The code doesn't have a department that is listed to provide septic services, and there's nothing in the code that suggests Gustavus is going to fund or provide septic services. So I would recommend we would put this authority in chapter 6.03, our waste disposal and recycling section. We would also need to identify a tank site, and the tank site would be the location that we would put transportable tanks that a pumping truck would take the wastewater from the septic tank, transfer it to the transportable tank, then the lightweight would pick the tank up, put it on the landing craft, take it to Juno. Juno Septic would meet it at the harbor, pump the tank out. The lightweight would return with the empty transportable tank. We would also have tanks left in Gustavus, so the process could continue. So we'd have tanks stored that are empty, filled, transported, and still have two tanks that could be filled while the transport of the wastewater was being conducted. The likely site for the tank storage would be over next to the DRC, close to the ramp at the Salmon River Harbor. Historically, that used to be the site where we had a septic storage tank, and the lightweight would come and pump it off and transport it to Juno. So this proposal kind of mirrors that approach. Once we have the site identified, we would also need to do an RFQ to identify the operator. I think it would be beneficial if we did this step before purchasing any equipment, because that allows us to ensure that the equipment is compatible with the operator's equipment. For example, an important piece of equipment would be a vacuum pump that would remove the wastewater from the septic tank and put it into a trailer or a container that would take it then down to the tank site and then pump it off into the transportable tank. So we would want to make sure that the vacuum pump was the right size that would fit the operator's truck. Now the operator would be under contract, and that contract would be renewable, or the contract could be canceled and a new RFQ set out for a new operator. The equipment would continue to belong to the city, but it would be leased or rented or allowed for the operator to use. This is considered a public-private partnership where the city works with a third party to provide the service. That helps keep that labor expense out of the city budget, and it allows for a business to have an opportunity to make some money. The contract would also have a stipulation to ensure that it would be an affordable cost to have your septic tank pump. One of the measures we've taken to ensure that we would be able to have an affordable service is an agreement with Sea Level Transport for the transport of the portable tanks. The owner had given me a quote of 90 cents per gallon to take the wastewater to Juno and then have it pumped by Juno Septic and then delivered to City and Borough Juno Wastewater Department. Now, of course, things could change. Prices could go up, inflation, cost of doing business. But this is the information that we have now. And then the final step would be, before we could actually implement this, it would be buying that equipment. And our code requires that if the equipment costs more than $10,000, we would have to put bids out for that. There are some exceptions, but they probably wouldn't apply in this case. So what I'm asking for is an approval of the scoping and development document. And what that will do is it'll put us into the next phase, and that would be drafting the ordinance to give us the authority to do so, and then simultaneously draft the RFQ so that we can identify one if there's an operator interested in doing this work. If not, look at what other opportunities we might have to be able to have a pumping service, whether that's through city employment or existing city staff. We would just have to look at what the alternatives could be. Some of the background to why the timing of this scoping document is now is that we've had reports of folks who have had to have their septics pumped, and the only alternatives they had were to dig pits to put the septic into, or have it pumped and then taken to unknown locations for surface spreading. Neither one of those are very sustainable. We have high groundwater, we have PFAS, we have neighbors. You can see where the longevity of that type of practice would meet its end pretty quickly. So we need to do something. Several proposals were delivered in earlier presentations. This one seemed to have the best opportunity to get implemented because of the cost to get it operating and the reliability of being able to have this service done in Gustavus rather than hope that a pump truck gets to us from Juno. That's the presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions. I do want to thank Councilmember van der Zanden for several conversations in trying to come up with a plan. I'm not sure he and I necessarily agree 100%, but I think we both agree that something needs to be done to address our septic issues, especially as we see our community growing. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, City Administrator. We'll come back. We'll have an opportunity for council questions after we ask for public comment first. So do any members of the public wish to make any comment on this item? I'm not seeing any. Okay, I'm not seeing any public comment coming up, so we'll go to council comment on this. And I know there are a couple of hands up. The first one is Council Member Lewis. Tanya Lewis, please.
Yeah, thank you. I have two questions and a comment. Maybe I could do the questions first for Tom. Have we calculated about how many septic tanks per year would need to be pumped into the future? Is that even something that we know? You know, is it 4? Is it 8? Is it 12? You know, just with our population base here and how often they have to be pumped. I'm just kind of trying to get a feel for demand. And then my second question is, I was hoping Tom could explain again where the temporary tanks would be stored. Did you say at the DRC or by the river? I definitely have some concerns if it's by the river. So those are my two questions.
Thank you, Council Member Lewis. The number of tanks per year, I don't have a fixed number. I know that we have a backlog of tanks that need to be pumped. That's based on information from Juno Septic. And I would imagine once we got the backlog done, based on what he told me that he had in terms of pumping requests, we'd probably be looking at maybe 10 a year. And that's based on the ability for his truck to pump out 2 to 4 tanks, depending on the size of the tank. The tanks are normally about 1,000 to 1,200 tons. Larger. Also, if there's some room, he can hit some private outhouses, some composting facilities, you know, like the restrooms down at the beach or there at the if they're not on septic systems. So I don't have a good number, but based on Bob Holmes from Septic, Juno Septic, I would guess somewhere around 10. And then in terms of where would the tanks be stored, right, I'm looking at the property adjoining the DRC, not necessarily on the river, but for example, we have a lot of our large rock on that little road that goes between the DRC out to one of the sloughs there. There's land on either side of that that you could develop a pad that you would have these portable tanks. And remember, these portable tanks aren't that large. They have to be picked up by a forklift that the lightweight would bring off and on. So there, it's not a huge area. So I wouldn't imagine that we would have to do much work in developing a pad. But the idea would be to put it accessible so that the forklift wouldn't have to go long distance to carry, you know, a tank full of septic. And it wouldn't be right there on the beach either, because it just doesn't seem like a good place to put it. I hope that answered your questions.
Yes, thank you. And I guess my comments, I think that if we move forward with this, the tank should be secure somewhere in the realm of the DRC facility, secure from tampering and from wildlife and all that. And my main comment though is I'd really love to hear from people in the community how they feel about that. I know that, you know, we've had, I know there's a lot of people that feel like the government, the city government, shouldn't expand. And this seems like an expansion to me. So I just would love to hear from people how they feel about this. Thank you.
Okay, it looks like Councilmember Muscoviac has a comment or a question.
Yeah, Tom, in your why is the project needed, there's the remark there, the problem of getting the pump truck on the ferry, risk of missing the return ferry. Well, I think that any scoping document should explore the status quo, because getting it on the ferry shouldn't really be an issue. And, you know, somebody should be able to keep a schedule. And that's, I'll support this scoping document, but it's got to include trying to work in the status quo.
Thank you, Councilmember Muscoviac. So if I'm understanding what you're saying is, you wanted the scoping document to address the existing situation, or did you have a question about why the existing situation isn't working out? I wasn't clear.
I think that the existing situation could work out, and I think it could work fine. You know, if it doesn't, that's another story, but I think sticking with the status quo and examining, you know, trying to make it work should be our priority here, not expanding the city's government.
Okay, so I'll just add some of that background that I didn't mention earlier in my research, why we're having problems with getting Juno Septic out here. And this isn't just last year. My understanding is this is an ongoing problem. So I've talked to the Deputy Commissioner for Marine Highways because I was told by Juno Septic that the reason they couldn't get out had to do with them being able to get the tank onto the ferry. And I received interesting explanation why they couldn't get their tank truck onto the ferry. Primarily that the chief mate may not be in the mood to allow them to put their truck on the ferry, or that they couldn't get space on the ferry. So those comments made me want to talk to Marine Highway. So I contacted Rob Carpenter, the deputy commissioner, and he explained that the size of the truck that they used had a lot to do with it. Their smaller truck didn't meet all the regulations, so they could only bring their larger truck. And sometimes they wouldn't have room for the larger truck. So sometimes the truck would have to stay there until they had an opportunity on one of the sailings to get it out. And as we know, you know, that's was twice a week. The year before it was three times a week. Yet they still were not able to get their truck over here. Some of the other background, the business is up for sale. The interest in coming out to Gustavus wasn't that keen because they weren't making that much money. They were taking their truck out of service. The continuation of that situation looks to be favorable based on the information that I received from Juno Septic. Again, that may or may not be the case. Can't look into the future. Trying to find a solution that is focused on Gustavus initiating removal of the septic was what I was trying to accomplish here. So I understand what you're saying, and I have explored the status quo, and that was a summary of my findings. That's all I had.
Okay, it looks like Councilmember van der Zanden has a comment or a question.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out ways that this might fail right from the start. And I've talked to Tom about it several times. My understanding about the truck on the ferry was that maybe his more reliable truck is one that only holds about two septic tanks worth. And it's just not worth it for him to come out here for 3 days to pump two tanks. That was one of the issues. He has other plans, but nothing that we can count on, really. I had concerns about that 91 cents a gallon, whether that covered round trip plus pumping on the lightweight. And I talked to Paul again today, and he confirmed that it did cover the whole thing. So that was good. I was skeptical about buying eight of those 1200 gallon poly tanks. I understand they're about $2,500, but I haven't heard a reliable quote on what shipping could be. It could cost that much again, just for shipping. Although Paul offered to bring them from Juneau out here for free just to get the ball rolling. But I think it would be prudent to start out really slow if we do go in that direction, and maybe just get a couple, just to see if the whole thing's going to work. But to me right now, the big hurdle is how to get the stuff from the septic tanks down to the tanks at the DRC. And there's a lot of things that could happen there, a lot of things that could go wrong for us. One thing that I wondered about was if the PFAS issue ever came up, and Juneau could just turn us away on that. I don't know if that's possible or not, but it's one thing to consider. And I know that John Barry had a copy of a study done 2002, I believe it was. Tom, did you get a chance to look at that yet?
Yes, I did, actually. He had it delivered to us today, and I did look through it. It's an old study, 2002. And I'll hand it off to you, Joe. I don't know that it provides any answers. It's mostly talking about having a plant of some sort that dewaters, and then you have to deal with the solids. So without going into the gory details online here, I'll give this to you tomorrow and see what you think about it. But if you thought that my proposal was expensive, this one is, this one's going to really impress you then. But I did have it, and I think you'll find it interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, I was looking forward to seeing that, because we are talking about spending a fair amount of money, and we should look at all possibilities for dealing with the problem out here before we ship all that stuff to Juneau. But anyway, that's my comments so far. There's just a lot of things to look at in how to deal with it on our end, a lot of possibilities. So it'll be interesting. Thank you.
Any other council members have? It looks like Councilmember Sharman has a comment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too am pretty cautious about expanding the responsibility of local government with respect to taking on yet another service. At the same time, it has become clear to me over the years that the current situation is really untenable. And at some point, there's a very good chance that DEC will step in and tell us how to solve our problem. Scoping, the step that we're talking about, is the very step that allows us to ask questions and develop sort of a universe of approaches. And I'm all in. There's what's not to like about that? So I'm going to support this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Sharman. Any other comments on this? I guess I'd add a couple of short things. I used to have a septic tank at my house in Fairbanks when I lived there. You know, the recommendation was to pump it every 3 years. And in fact, when you sold your property, there was a check of you were supposed to keep your records. And if you didn't have records of having pumped the tank every 3 years, you had to have a tank inspection, which is not cheap, before your house could be sold. I think that wasn't just a regulatory thing. I think it was something the realtor system sort of required. So we must have hundreds of tanks in Gustavus. And so if every one of them was pumped every 3 years, that's a lot of tanks and potentially a lot of business. The method that Thomas outlined here, that we begin with this, the process of evaluating and exploring, is a means of dealing with that. And perhaps helping somebody generate through a public-private partnership, we could get this kind of process going, and the city could certainly spin it off sometime in the future. In fact, I would like to see that. I always like to see a process like this done privately if we can do it. It's one less thing for the city to manage. So I would hope that a business like this, which is still largely operated by the operator, not by the city, and the operator of the business does the billing and all of that, presumably rents our equipment from the city. But might be just the start in getting somebody into a lucrative business that could be going on for many years and would serve the community well and its environment. So for that reason, I would support it as well and look forward to seeing how it develops. Any other comments?
Okay. Mayor, could I make one more comment?
Yes. You may.
I would like to piggyback on Councilmember Sharman's comment about DEC. As you may know, DEC is drafting changes to their septic regulations. And the mayor sent a letter last week, I believe. And we also provided online comments about extending the notice period on those changes. The changes are dramatic. They're mostly for larger communities that have the capabilities to do things like increase the size of the septic tanks, the servicing, and I think they think everybody is on a roaded system so that they can just have a truck drive out and do the pumping. If you're interested in seeing a draft of the changes, I can provide that for you. Or you could also take a look at the mayor's letter. I think the comments in there kind of sum up some of the concerns that we have. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote then, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Thank you very much. We'll look forward to seeing how that project develops. It brings us to item 14, resolution CY22-06, cost of living pay adjustment. It's an annual thing that we do here. And may I have a motion, please? I believe Council Member Sharman has a motion to approve this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wish to move for council adoption resolution CY22-06, providing for a cost of living pay adjustment.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Well, I'll second it.
I'll second that.
Okay. Either one is fine. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve resolution CY22-06, cost of living pay adjustment. And I will read the resolution. It's not very long. Resolution CY22-06, a resolution providing for a cost of living pay adjustment for City of Gustavus employees in regular positions. Whereas the Gustavus City Council adopted an employee payment and earnings policy on June 8, 2006. And whereas the Gustavus City Council adopted resolution 2011-23 on December 8, 2011, which updates the section of the employment payment and earnings policy entitled pay raises. And whereas the adopted policy of pay raises states that the Gustavus City Council may grant from time to time by resolution periodic adjustments to the city's pay schedule. The City Council will consider the cumulative change in the Consumer Price Index, Anchorage, since the last such pay adjustment in formulating such adjustments. Such periodic pay adjustments, if any, will apply to all regular position employees of the City of Gustavus. Regular position is a full-time or part-time year-round position in which the employee generally works the same schedule every week, although actual hours each week may vary with season or with workload. And whereas in adopting this policy, the Gustavus City Council has determined that adjusting the pay of its regular position employees in an amount equal to the change in the Consumer Price Index, CPI, for Anchorage, the standard measure of CPI for Alaska, is appropriate. And whereas the logical time to approve the cost of living pay adjustment is before the Gustavus City Council has adopted the next fiscal year budget, and whereas the Consumer Price Index, CPI, for Anchorage rose 4.9% for the calendar year 2021. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council grants a 4.9% cost of living pay adjustment to current hourly rates, non-exempt, and base salary exempt for all regular position employees effective July 1, 2022. Okay. Do any members of the public have any comments on this resolution? Not seeing any hands going up. Do any council members have any comment on this resolution? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Something we do every year, and I support keeping our employees pay up with the cost of living, and particularly this year, it's very important. So with no other council comment, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Matoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to City Council reports, and the first one on the agenda is my monthly report. I've given it to you in writing, and we'll post it at the post office and everything. I write this report on Wednesday before the meeting, before the deadline for the meeting. And we've had a lot of stuff go on since then. And so I've got some things to add to it. I'm not going to read everything in the report. If anybody has questions, you can ask me at any time. Public may call me at home if they've got a question. But we've got one top item to mention, and that's that last Wednesday night and Thursday, we had a pretty big windstorm from the wind coming from the southwest, and we had damage to our steel mooring float that's been in place during the winter. I need to thank very much Council Member Joe VanderZanden and Marine Facilities Coordinator Ben Sadler for responding over the weekend to secure the float and to inspect the damage. They're the two most distal, that is farthest out, collars that hold the float to the large pilings were broken in the windstorm. The gates that close around those pilings are bent, and the bolts that held them in place had snapped. So the float took a pretty big beating out there. It's a pretty hefty piece of equipment, and despite the beating, it held up, stayed in place. But it's the kind of thing that we've been worried about when we were more or less forced to keep it there because there was just no good way at the time to move it. So Ben and Joe secured it temporarily with some change to the columns. And fortunately, we've had pretty calm water since then. We had a Zoom meeting or a Teams meeting today with the DOT engineers in Juneau who have built this or who designed our harbor and our float facilities. They are very helpful and very supportive of us in finding a way to get this fixed. And also looking to the future on how to protect it. So the first step is their engineer, Misty Butler, comes out tomorrow and will meet with us here at City Hall briefly and then go out with Ben and Joe, if Joe's available, I think, too, to look at the float and help her understand what the damage is, ascertain whether we need to replace those swinging gates on the collars, or whether they can be repaired, what it will take to get the float into proper and safe service for the summer season before the summer is on us. And I had a call with the engineers late this afternoon. They have done some searching around to see who could, they would like us to move the float so that it's not exposed in case we have another storm before we can get it repaired. And they have offered to make that happen for us. They have, they talked first to Paul Welson, and he had just completed a cruise here, so he wasn't immediately available to do it. They found another reliable and recommended operator in Juneau who can relocate that float for us next week. And so they are, the DOT is going to contract with that provider to come over and move the float. They will need, he doesn't need any more boats, he said, but he could use some hands to help handle lines and so forth. So I hope that Ben and Joe and between us, we'll find enough to give them the help that they need. And the plan is to move it over to Bull Moose Cove, anchor it there as we had originally intended to do last fall. And then Western Marine is scheduled to be here in April already for some dock work. And DOT is arranging with them to repair the float and then return it to its position in time for service for the summer. So it's, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the guys at DOT for taking the responsibility. They know we have limited ability here. We don't have big boats and so forth. And they're really helping us out on getting it repaired. They've suggested that this provider might too also be a long-term solution for moving it every fall until we can get a wave barrier in place. And that's the next topic that we've been talking to them about. As you're all aware, we have the infrastructure money that is rapidly becoming available. And Tom and I have been studying the 400 some page book from the White House on what the options are. And we've been in contact with AML on how to get funding for big projects like this. And we've identified the possibility of applying for several grant opportunities. One is the what's called the RAISE grants, which is just a general infrastructure thing for projects that range between 1 million and 25 million. And this project falls within that. When they built the new dock out there, when they changed the arrangement on the dock for the ferry loading ramp and put our floats back into place. At that time, they had considered an option of putting a wave barrier, mounting it to the ferry dock. And the estimate at that time was over $7 million. And that's why it didn't get done at the time. It wasn't funded. But now we have perhaps the best opportunity we've ever had to fund this piece of infrastructure that will not only protect our float system, it may mean that we won't have to move the steel float at least because it will be sufficiently protected during the winter. We've reminded them that we do care about the environment out on our beach, and we don't want to impede sediment transport and so forth that builds our sandy beach. So we need to look at designs for that wave barrier that would minimize problems with sediment transport along the beach. DOT is doing some schematic design options for us to think about and a cost estimate. We will use that cost estimate and the schematics they give us to apply for grants from the RAISE opportunity. There are other opportunities for marine facilities in addition to RAISE in the infrastructure bill. There will be new opportunities coming up over the next couple of years. They're not all here at once. So we've got lots of opportunities to fund it that way. We'll also look at Corps of Engineers funding, and we anticipate telling the legislature that we could use some funding for this. By the way, part of the good news on these infrastructure grants is it now appears that there will be no local match required. So wow, is that a relief? Because a local match on a $7 million project would wipe it out for us. And so we've got a lot of good news here. And I hope that the concerns that the charter operators have brought to us over the last 2 years, and most recently tonight with Jim Kern's comments, will be drawing on that history of comments and requests for help as we make the case for the value to our community of coming up with a wave energy barrier of some kind there that will provide for safer conditions all summer and protect our facilities. So we'll keep you informed on what's going on with that going forward. You've approved the, I'll skip down through some of this. You've heard from Tom about our continuing FEMA applications, which are ever coming closer to seeing a check. The Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge, you've approved for us to put out to bid. We will probably not do that tomorrow as the date in the draft indicates, but rather We'll need a couple of days to get confirmation signed from two property owners on the east side of the Grandpa's Farm Road, where we need to put a temporary bypass detour. And we're working with them to locate that. We have it in the design, and I've talked to those property owners, and I look I anticipate we'll be able to come to something that works out well for them and for the project. So once we have that, and once we have another confirmation from Fish and Wildlife Service that the National Office is indeed willing to fund this project, then we will put it out to bid with the hope of awarding it as early as next month, keeping us on schedule. Tom and I, you know, with all these infrastructure opportunities, we're trying to organize our long list of capital projects and prioritize those things. We'll first break them down into things we already have funded, just haven't done, and we've got some of those, and put some focus on getting them done during this year. It's the kind of thing I like to do particularly. And then those that are not funded, we are going to develop a strategy for grant applications to find funding for the ones that are most important. And the top ones would be things like the wave barrier, the bike path, possibly some of the projects at the DRC and so forth. some of our larger flood control projects that remain, such as another culvert up by the gravel pits to handle the floods, keep them off of Wilson Road. So those are things we're going to be working to prioritize and develop strategies for. And I would like a couple of council members who could join me in working with Tom and to prioritize these things and help develop a strategy. So if some of you are interested in something like the bike path or whatever, the wave barrier, I'd love to have your help in prioritizing. So please let me know. Either you could comment during council comments at the end here, or just reach out to me when you can. We've during the work session, I presented to you my risk assessment on the current status of the pandemic as it affects us, as required by the council and resolution 2201. It's you all have that assessment, and I don't need to go over it in detail, but I'll just summarize that the trends look good for the drop in cases. I just looked at it again this week, or for this week, there was a posting for today, and the cases are dropping statewide substantially from just last week. So the trend is downward, and the factor for transmission has dropped below one, which is good news. It was up at 1.78 at the start of January when we did the resolution CY2201. So the trend is good in Alaska. Alaska lags the rest of the lower 48 some, but the trends everywhere are looking better for reduced cases and hopefully many fewer deaths and so forth. So we'll continue to follow that trend, and I will offer an updated risk assessment in March. Once again, I would acknowledge that we've got a lot of comments, and you, those of you on the council, are seeing the comments because we forward the ones that come in by email and so forth. And I forwarded to you the letter that I was handed today by Kelly McLaughlin with the group that came to visit with me out in front of City Hall today. The comments come on all sides of this issue, well, mostly two sides of this issue, and it's our job to try to sort through and decide what's the best thing to do to manage the city and protect our employees and still meet the needs for the public. And it's important to acknowledge that regardless of the side, the method or what people's views are on masks and so forth, they all care about our community. They all care about how we get along with each other. They're concerned about divisions in the community, which may have their origins far from us nationally or whatever, but they play out in a small town like ours and make a lot of people unhappy. And I am certainly hopeful that the trend in the pandemic will support some relaxation in the coming weeks of our provisions that you approved in the resolution last month. So it'll be on our agenda next month again, which is not very far. The 7th of March, I think, is our next work session. The Beach Park CRMA is still somehow stalled at DNR, and I'll need to get back to them and see if I can dislodge that wherever it is up in Anchorage and see if we can get a conclusion on that so we can bring it forward. I would like to have it on the agenda for next month for a hearing and for council approval. And finally, I'd like to thank Glacier Bay Construction for the tremendous effort they've made in clearing roads, dealing with this snow that is far more than our roads really were meant to handle. They've gone back and pushed out berms as well as they could and cleared intersections for better sight distance. And when it's rained, I've noticed that at least on my road, the rain was running off and going under the berm. The berm wasn't frozen to the ground and blocking and holding it on the road. So I think their work is making a big difference. The more snow we get off the road, the better off we are at breakup. And it's going to be a long breakup probably, but we'll keep trying to do our best. And thanks again to Glacier Bay Construction for a wonderful job on that. So that's my report. We'll post it for anybody who wants to read the whole thing. Do any other council members have a report on a project that they are doing? Anything they'd like to bring forth for the rest of the council? Council Member Sharman.
Thanks, Mike. I don't know how many people are aware of some vandalism that has occurred out at the beach. Those of you who go out there frequently, I'm sure, have seen it. But a couple of the signs that were erected to control vehicle access and camping on the beach were shot with a high caliber rifle or handgun and as well as a shotgun. And it's just really disappointing and discouraging to me and the people I've talked to about it. It does not reflect well on or does not serve well the purposes of those who are opposed to vehicle control on the beach. It's a part of society that I don't think is representative of those who would like to pursue other means of changing policy. I think it's important for citizens to know that every time a piece of city property is destroyed or damaged, well, the city's just going to replace it. We're just going to spend more money that was derived from all of us for a purpose that is completely unnecessary. So I'll end my comment there. Thank you.
I'm not hearing anything. Is it me or are you on mute?
Maybe I had my mic off. Thank you. Okay. Maybe I better back up and say, do any other council members have any projects to report on? Okay. Thanks for the notice on that. Then we'll move on to city council questions and comments. Do any council members have something to speak up on of interest or anything that, well, even if something that was discussed in the meeting today, they would like to comment on? Council Member Lewis.
Thank you. I was just wondering if we at the city departments have a good supply of 95 masks or KN95 masks in preparation for when masks do become optional for cities that want to be
Excuse me, Council Member Lewis, if for some reason you're breaking up and it sounds pretty garbled right from the start. Maybe we can try it again. I don't know if it's how close you are to your speaker or what. Maybe it's bandwidth problem.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's a little better. Let's try it again. We don't want to miss you.
I'm just wondering if there are... N95 masks for employees once the mask is lifted.
Boy, that was pretty garbled again. Do you want to try to call in on the phone, or should we? We could forward your, the clerk could forward your comment to everybody. How about that? Let's do it by email or something, since it's for some reason, I think it's your satellite internet or something there at home. So is that okay, Tanya? I'm sorry that we couldn't clearly hear you. Okay, I don't know, maybe we lost her entirely. So.
I'm back. I'll just write an email. Thank you.
Oh, there, you sounded good. Let's try it one more time.
Okay, I got fully dropped and then I'm back. So I just want to make sure the city has a stash of N95 and KN95 masks for employees and volunteers to be safe once the mask mandate lifts.
Thank you. And yes, we do. There's a bunch of them right here on the table. And the departments have them too. So we'll make sure they're plenty available. Good point.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Thanks for bringing that up. And we'll follow up. Any other questions or comments? Well, we've gone over 2.5 hours. So. Okay, well, I guess that's all we've got for, there's no executive session, and did I miss anything? Oh, we have another public comment, sorry. And in fact, I forgot to ask for public comment, and Leslie Sirstad. Leslie asked if the city has sent a notice to people so they're aware that we're going to work on the culvert. And no, we haven't. We're probably quite a ways off on the actual work because it'll be during the summer. But
next week or something.
You are planning to do something. What we're planning to do is put it out to bid next week, and but the construction would be during the summer, probably July.
Well,
we'll let.
No, it just seems to me it'd be nice if they
I'll take your request and go with it. Thank you.
The other thing is along that line, the Sidwell Bridge, the bridge, and I'm assuming it's that same type bridge.
Yes.
Yearly, it's fine, except it's on a curve. Is it? And it's not really good for driving that way. So I just thought it might be nice to mention maybe a little straighter. straighter exit. I don't know. I'm not a bridge builder, but it just seems that it'd be there.
Leslie suggests a, if you couldn't hear, suggests the straightest alignment that we can provide on the bridge rather than having a turn sort of as we approach it. So, and I think the alignment's pretty straight there, fortunately.
That's true. The turn looks lovely, but the anchor. But anyway. Anybody involved that has taken care of each other in the community for inclement weather that we had December, January, and now February, and it should go another month, I'm sure. But thank you.
Okay. Thank you to each other. Leslie, thanks all those that have helped each other here in this community during this period of tough weather that we've had this winter. Yes, indeed. Okay, any other public comment on non-agenda items? Sounds like we're okay. Maybe the public's all gone away.
Hey,
looks like we have
Can you hear me okay?
Somebody on. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Jim Kearns again. Can you hear me okay?
We can, Jim. Yes, I'm glad you've tuned in again. So.
Yeah. I wanted to hear that mayor's report. I'm delighted about it. But anyway, I just wanted to offer my help as a volunteer when we get down to moving that float. I'd be more than happy to do it. You know, us retirees, we got to have something to keep us busy. And I am delighted to hear that the wave barrier has moved up to a very high priority. It's always been one that I thought we should have. And I'd also like to just encourage the council and the powers that be to consider, I'll send it in, that diagram, to consider making adjustments to those skiff ramps until we do have a wave barrier, when it would be a moot point at that time. But certainly need to have a place where all vessels can come in to that dock or to that float and have the most protected places available to them for safety of loading and unloading. Whether they be a commercial operation or a private operation, it makes no difference. Everybody needs that safe spot to be able to work with. And to me, it's a shame that it's always taken up with skiffs that will sometimes sit there all summer and hardly ever be used. And yet they take up that critical space for safe use of that facility. So, okay, thanks again. And yeah, and I'd love to volunteer to help on that float movement. So be sure to call me or let me know, or I'll call you too. So, all right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. We'll be delighted to take you up on your offer. We need skilled vessel operators like you to get this done. Okay, looks, any other public comment on non-agenda items that I missed?